Ezekiel chapter 30, in the third verse, the time of the heathen is spoken of. He said, "For the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day. It shall be the time of the heathen." The time of the heathen, I fear that such a day has come, the time of the heathen. You might, if you turn over, turn back a ways, go to the second psalm. And we see in the very first verse of the second psalm, he said, "Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing." I confess to you, I don't know that there's a day that goes by that I don't wonder that. Why the heathen, why do they imagine a vain thing? I pick up the news and I see these vain things that people imagine. Is it not all to defy God? It really is. If you, you know, I like to boil everything down to its most basic element. And really, it's all good and evil, and it's all God or the devil. When you boil it all down, the basis for all things. I was listening to Lloyd Jones preach this morning. All things work together for good, and they do. In the ultimate, maybe not in the moment when we're having surgery or we're having trials. But it like birth, there's this great pain, then there's this great exaltation. So we know that it worked. We don't understand it, but we know that's the way that it works. And so today, I see these things defying God, and I see the blasphemies that they actually yell with their lips about our Lord. And it seems troubling to us. Now, Melissa, she doesn't even like to read the news anymore, but let's consider their end. Like I said, all things work together for good in the end. And what is the end? The end, for us, life on this earth is death. And it's been death ever since the garden. We're all going to die. Yesterday I was having some heart issues. And when I have heart issues, I think of the date. I'm trying to get a jump on what the last date on that tombstone is going to be. Because a lot of people that's just one of the things I think of. I know what the first date's going to be. I know what that dash between the two dates has been. But that last date, I wonder, how's that going to look on there? And yesterday I thought, okay, March 3/13/1948 to, I wasn't sure I was going to make it through I really was not sure. And I thought, okay, 9/20/20, that's going to sound, got to have a nice ring to it. Death, it's death. It's been death since the garden. "And the vilest shall but die." There's a bluegrass song now, "The Richest Man in the Graveyard." I played it for Melissa. Have you heard that song, brother? "The Richest Man in the Graveyard." Well, he's just like the poorest man in the graveyard. There's no wealth in the graveyard. There's no fame in the graveyard. You see, in a sense, if you could understand the Bible verse, there's no gender that's dead. They're dead. There's no color. They're dead. "The vilest shall but die. The so-called greatest of the earth, dead." Elvis Presley's dead. Adolf Hitler, he's dead. They're all dead. Abraham Lincoln, he's dead. I believe that we place far too much emphasis on this life as if it's the only existence. The fact that it's not is what separates you and I from the heathen. It's the only thing that separates, really. The fact that this is not our end. Actually, you might say it's, in a sense, it's our beginning. Our God is an eternal, living God who conquered death, hell, and the grave. It's interesting. I'm reading a book now by Martin Lloyd-Jones, and he talks about when one of my favorite places in the Bible, when Elijah against the prophets of Baal. Well, Baal doesn't even exist. It's a figment of men's imagination. It's what men have thought up. It's a religion of man. There's no God named Baal. It's what man has thought up. So do men imagine a vain thing? Yes, you see. And our God is an eternal living God who conquered death, who conquered hell, and who conquered the grave. And we have this question, but why do the heathen rage? Because this is all they have or ever will have. And they're fighting for it with all their might, you see. They live a natural, lost, perverted existence. Carnal, depraved, pure carnality, and in a sense, void of judgment. At times, we've kept them at bay with the righteous judgment of God. There have been times of righteousness. When the tide turned, like I said, there are different times. There's a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, a time for peace, and so forth. And so there have been times of revival and times of righteous judgment where we've kept these folks at bay with God's law and God's word. But they are as wild beasts. You let them out and they'll devour you. That's why we have the armor of God. And this we've done now. And most especially you've heard me speak of since the year you were born, 1963. Out with God, let's kill the babies. I remember it well because I grew up in a time when we said the Lord's Prayer every morning in school. But they said, no, we'll have separation and their distorted version and no more praying in school. And it's been a steady downhill ever since. You study the year 1963. In 1960, I'm going to just give you a few statistics. Unwed pregnancies increased 187% in the next 15 years for girls that were 15 to 19 years old. For girls that were 10 to 14, the 15 years following 63, they went up 553%. Sexually transmitted diseases before 60, before 63, they were, they say 400 per 100,000. And just in the following 12 years from 63, they went up 226%. Divorces went up 300% each year for 15 years after 1963. Living together, couples living together out of wedlock, went up 353%. Violent crime increased 544%. Since 73, Roe v. Wade, 30 million abortions. How many wars have we won since 63? Vietnam, actually, the actual combat, as we know it, portion started in 63. We haven't. They had an interesting graph, and in 1940, these were the top seven problems in school. Talking out of turn. That was cotton. Chewing gum. Making noise. Running in the hall. Cutting in line. Dress code violations. And littering. Those were the big problems that they had to deal with in 1940. In 1990, by the way, it's much worse now. That's 30 years ago. Number one, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, pregnancy, suicide, rape, robbery, and assault. What did they say? We've come a long way, baby. SAT scores. They started a steady decline in 63. The death rate in schools went up 323% the first decade after 63. And they're up, if you take the 70 years prior to 63, compared with now, the death rate in schools is up 1,464%. I can't even compute that. But I lived it. I was there. 63, I was 15 years old. Coming in to whatever I was coming into. I've seen it firsthand. And all hell broke loose in the remaining years of the 60s. It was almost supernatural, the things that went on. Much as we're seeing today. And now, and then we had a question, but now once again, it's the time of the heathen. They're once again raging. Turn with me to Romans chapter 16. Look at verse 19. And we'll look at verse 20. He said, Paul said, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I'm glad, therefore, on your behalf. And then that famous Bible word, but. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good. And look at this particularly. And simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. We are certainly to please God. Wise unto that which is good. And I think we have some understanding of that. And really, not to overthink evil. You see that? Simple concerning evil. I think we spend far too much time in this area. Simple concerning evil. I don't think we're to overthink evil. The battle's laid out for us in Ephesians 6. We're not going to rehash that this morning. And God didn't leave us unarmed. And he didn't leave us without hope. He left us the comforter. And all through, if you're a child of God, we're talking about children of God versus the heathen. In Christ, we're equipped for the battle. And we may lose some battles. But it's the end game. All things work together for good, you see, in the end. If you've ever been in a fight, I think I'm talking to people who've never been in fights. You know there's not a lot to think about. When the first punch is thrown, now maybe if a guy's a professional boxer, but I don't know. I've seen some of those guys. I'm pretty sure that nature takes over when they get, when that bell rings. You know, I played, there wasn't a lot of thinking when I played football. There wasn't a lot of thinking in basic training. There wasn't a lot of thinking when they taught us the elements of war. There's not a lot to think about. As a matter of fact, I recall no thinking whatsoever. I don't recall any thoughts at all other than, am I going to live? You see, it's instinct. It's nature that takes over. I laugh at all these Rambo guys that they all try to dress military. Man, I couldn't wait to get out of my military togs and get my, what we call, civvies back on. And now they all want to dress military. I couldn't wait to let my hair grow. And now they all want to cut their hair off. And so we have all these militia-type, Rambo-type guys all decked out in camo and artillery. Kind of like I laugh when I see these town-raised boys come out, the dove hunters. Man, they've got on all this regalia, and they've got these special shirts, and they've got these special clothes. And I go out and sit on a stool in a Hawaiian shirt and Bermuda shorts, and You know, the birds, I found the birds don't know the difference. The guys who didn't make it, I was an air traffic controller for many years, and all the guys that didn't make it, I call them thinkers. Because you don't have time to think. When the sky is full of airplanes or the radar goes out, firefighters, police, war, or when you see a rattlesnake, there's not a lot of thinking goes on. I mean, you know your job, you know where you're supposed to be, but you're not sitting there, wonder what we should do now. There's an instinct that takes over. Nature kicks in. When I was courting Melissa, there wasn't a whole lot of thinking going on. Chuck Berry, right? I was still thinking. No, he wasn't thinking. You see. And that's become a trouble in religion. It really has. Brother James used to say, they've educated the Holy Ghost out of them, and they have. And Paul tells us that right here. Isn't that a most interesting verse? You never hear anything about that. Simple concerning evil. Will you say KISS, K-I-S-S? Keep it simple, stupid. You say? Today, we've a learned conversion. It yields no fruit at all. And it doesn't last very long. Like the seeds. And storm comes up, or the wind and vehement, and it's gone. You know, apple trees never try to produce apples. So you might say, well, how does all that pertain to our text? Well, it's simple. The time of the heathen. The trouble that with most today, and most especially in church, is they just don't know what time it is. They just don't know what time it is. First of all, what are they? They're heathen. You don't hear that word much anymore. It's sort of an old-style word, heathen. It's kind of like the word bastard. I like that word bastard. And I used to explain to those men in the prisons and the jails, they didn't know what a bastard was. Half of them probably were. A heathen. Is a heathen a child of God? No. By simple definition, a heathen is a non-Christian. That's what he is. And we're in such a time. Why do they rage? Well, that's what heathen do. You know? They're not overthinking that thing. You've seen those rioters? They're not overthinking that thing. And don't you overthink this thing. All of these events and, you know, when I try to overthink Revelation, I get nothing. If I'll just let it come, just turn the water on and let it come. Yeah, I'll glean something. As I say, Brother Jay, don't push and don't pull. Just receive what it is for you. So don't overthink all this, or you'll end up chasing your tail like Black Sambo and turning into butter. He said, simple concerning evil. Most of you, I was reading, I get a blog by a man in Taiwan, and he thinks the King James Bible's full of errors. I don't think it's full of errors. I mean, how can you tell a verse simple concerning evil? That's a glorious verse. Now, you could go break it down and try to go to Greek and the Hebrew, but forget all that. Simple concerning evil. There's a British science fiction writer. His name was Arthur C. Clarke. He wrote 2001 Space Odyssey. And he had three laws that he went by. And I won't go over three, but there was one in particular. He said, any sufficiently advanced technology. Now, do you hear me? Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Now that got me. And I absolutely believe that. Any wonder our Lord said in our text last week, You remember in John 9:39, he said, they which see not might see. And they which see might be made blind. And I was thinking about that in this past week. A blind man. I actually found a blind man that liked to go to magic shows. And he liked to hear the audience's reaction. And he would listen to the magician, and the magician would use words that would take away the audience's sight focus from things. I know all about that. I sell and market for a living. And you can, I've had people buy it, they didn't know they'd bought it. Because you change their focus. That's how you deal with tinnitus. You change the focus, you see. They which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And he told the Pharisees, if you were blind, you'd have no sin. But you say, you see, and so your sin remaineth. That's a marvelous saying. Any wonder that the Lord gave us two glorious adages to live by? And many years ago, some of you heard the story, he told me this, as plain as I'm speaking to you, standing out on a ridge in Tennessee. Two things. And I'm going to tell you again. And if you'll take these two things, lean not to your own understanding. How do you do that? Lean not to your own understanding. And give no thought for the morrow. If you'll just live right now. Right now. You don't know how it's going to be when that babe comes. You think you do. You've experienced it. But you don't know how it's going to be. I saw a lady that she'd had like 22 or 20. And this one was, it came and the experience was, it was different. So you just take care of that babe today. Out of time and overthinking. And that's pretty near all of us most of the time. Out of time and overthinking. I'd like to close with some glorious verses for you in Philippians chapter 4. I think my bride, she likes Philippians. And Brother Thomas Kane, that wasn't Philippians his verse? Back many years ago. In Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4 through verse 9. Now, these are glorious things. I would that I would just dwell on them all the day. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Now, look. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. The Lord is at hand. When is that? Now, lean not to your own understanding. Simple concerning evil. Give no thought for the morrow. It's the time of the heathen. Sadly, to most, their God is a 5 or 6 inch piece of plastic. And it's in their hand most of the day. I watch them when I walk into my place of business. excuse me. You can be assured that 70 to 80% of the people I see have got that thing in their hand. And I sit and I look at them. And they're transfixed and they're, I don't know where they are. I'm thinking, I wonder if they read. I mean, a book, Bible. What is it that you're looking at? Social media, social gods, magic. Things which they're not in control of. And that thing's controlling them. And they don't know that. They think they're in control of it because they're pushing the buttons, but they're pushing the buttons that it wants them to push. It's truly the time of the heathen. But we're to be simple concerning evil. We're to live a simpler life, more uncomplicated, purer. Old Lester Roloff preached about the family altar and it's gone. That's really how we're having church at this hour. Basically, we're at a family altar. But where is it for the rest of the week? What's going on then? It's the time of the heathen. But we're not heathens. We're children of God. And you and I are to have the peace that passes all understanding.